Shoot, I could have a kid on the way.
For real.
Not
for
now,
real,
but I'm saying like a year from now. Wait, hold on, I'm not breaking any news here. We are in episode 7 now. It is a Friday, and we are enjoying this weekend that's coming up.
Yes, sir.
Without work. How are you doing today, my guy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Nice and full. Just got back from eating out with the fam, and just delighted to be here with my good buddy old pal Deontay.
Oh,
little John Epps.
Oh, hey. Don't be giving out my government now.
I'm sorry.
Giving out my government. Wait. Did you just have a birthday?
Yeah, man. Last year, bro.
Not last year.
Bro,
2 days ago.
Everybody had a birthday last year. Yeah, man, I did have a birthday. It was a pretty normal day. Aside from the fact that it was raining all day, it was cool. It's cool. Spent it with the wife and the kid. We just chilled and folded some clothes and went out to eat a nice little bacon burger and came back home and chilled. Of course, the best thing about it is, you know, just reflecting on the year. Not so much as, you know,
right.
Getting stuff, or for me at least, not as, you know, getting stuff, but just thinking back on the year and like, man, all this happened. Like, the first thing I think about is this time last year, I did not have a kid. But this time, you know, like, and then next year, this time, I'm going to be thinking, wow, man, this dude is 1 year, you know, the correct way would say it, he's 12 months old.
Oh, he's 12 months old. You don't want to get it corrected.
So yeah.
People start saying he's 21 months. He's 28 months. Man, he's 3 years old.
I think I might do that though. Just for a bit. He's 17 years old on the way to the, you know, to the DMV to get his license. How old's your kid? Oh, he's about 2,000 months old.
Gonna be one of them parents.
Heck yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you, my guy.
I know I told you.
Of course. I didn't post it this year, but last year I posted that Facebook memory. You remember that picture of us outside of Killeen High School?
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah. I remember. Had the, the jean shorts on.
Yeah. So
jean shorts on.
Yeah. I went back and looked at the comments. Fucking Karina roasted me talking about, are those jeans or shorts? I can't tell.
Jorts, like, okay, man.
That's a good one. But hey, that's what we wore back in the day, man. That's what we did.
The only saving grace was the freaking J's. That was it. I can't remember. But my uncle got it for me for my birthday. Imagine that. Now it's going to bother me until I remember what. Sheesh.
They were the black ones.
Yeah, they were black. I don't remember the number.
Man. I forgot too. I could picture them in my head, but
I see them too. let me just use my Google.
To go back to what you were saying about, you know, your birthday and kind of thinking about how things can change in a year, or how your son next year going to be thinking about how he's 1 year old and so on and so forth. It's just crazy to think about, man. And like, I got a wedding coming up in 4 months. So,
hey,
shoot, I could have a kid on the way.
For real.
Not now, but I'm saying like a year from now. Wait, hold on, I'm not breaking any news here.
A year from now.
Jordan. Oh, okay. Jordan 8's.
Side note, kind of
reflect and think about the future. It's crazy. Things can change so quickly. But I'm happy for you, my guy.
Appreciate it.
We're going to have a great 2020.
For sure.
And to kick things off, Danny, do you remember what we talked about in our very first episode, our very first topic? Do you remember? What?
I'm not even gonna lie to you, man. I do not remember. Let me take a stab in the dark.
Think about it for a little bit.
Wait, is that trademark theme music? I don't want to get us taken off the interwebs. Decided to.
Okay. You good. Just add a little flair to it. Hey. Hey.
Okay. I don't know. You know what? I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's okay. Remember. It's okay. It was a while ago. It was a while ago. Yeah. So on our very first episode, we talked about, that was right after the Browns Steelers brawl. You remember?
And we foreshadowed that there might be another one. Was it? Yeah. Okay. I think it's coming back to me a little bit. I would look at my notes, but they're on my old phone.
Android. It's okay. So it's funny that we talked about a brawl, sports brawl, on our first episode. And to kick things off for this episode,
oh man,
we had another brawl, man.
What?
But this time it was in college basketball between the Kansas Jayhawks and K-State Wildcats. Towards the end of the game. Like, literally the last possession.
Hey.
I'm not sure what player for K-State, but he went up for a layup. And
I mean,
then,
he stole it first, right? He said, the whistle ain't been blown. The buzz ain't going off. As far as I'm concerned, we playing ball.
Right. So the K-State player stole it from Kansas four, Silvio De Sousa. Silvio didn't like that, so he swatted it. He swatted his layup on the other end.
Sent that mug back to the parking lot.
After he swatted it, he kind of stood over him, like, you know,
he did the flying AI a little step. Bit. Yeah, he did the AI step. He stepped over him.
And then after that, it was just a very chaotic scene. Got benches clear, and it went behind the goal post, or excuse me, the basket.
Photographers getting stomped on.
Cheerleaders.
One of the funniest things, bro, if you... Like right before, about 2 seconds before Buddy picks up the little stool or the chair, you can see one of the cheer dudes, I think they're called stuntmen, one of the stuntmen holding back one of the police officers, like, hey, back up now. Which I thought was so funny because, like, you would think, I mean, I don't know what the protocol is for breaking up brawls or whatever, who's supposed to get involved with that, but you can see the stadium security guy on the back wall, he's chilling. And then, of course, there's a police officer, or it looks like a police officer being, like, not held back by the stuntman, but he's, like, shielding him back, like, hey, back up. But, man, everybody in the stands were going crazy. People with their hands over their mouths, people, like, egging it on. One lady was on the ground. She had fell to the floor and was holding on to old buddy's leg. It was crazy.
Did you see that one still that's got, like, a bunch of stuff going on at It's like got Silvio holding the chair up.
Man.
You see the chaos behind him. It's like the perfect photo to describe this event. And I wish, like, I hope our listeners can go and Google this picture. Just look up the Kansas State brawl, and you'll see the picture I'm talking about. It's Silvio on the left with the stool behind his head. And then in the background, you see the Kansas fans' reactions. Some people are holding up a phone to record. Others have just got their mouth open and just, like, are stunned.
Yeah.
And then you see the chaos on the right bottom side. But
the chaos.
So the Big 12 came down with some suspensions. They only suspended four players, two from each side.
And after y'all finished looking up that picture, make sure you check out the fight with the Jim Ross commentary, or the Jim Ross WWE commentary.
Somebody dubbed it.
Probably within like an hour.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, it was classic.
The internet is so quick, man. How are they so fast on everything? Look at the chaos. Look at the bodies. Probably saying something like that.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my God. Saying something like that over and over and over again.
But to be real, man, this is crazy. Like,
what about the kids?
I know, right? You can't do this. Silvio came out with an apology. I didn't even read the apology.
Nah.
It's just you gotta be smarter than that.
He's protecting his draft stock.
Well, he'd been in trouble earlier.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna assume he took money because that's what the NCAA
allegedly.
NCAA probably
say, hey, said, whoa now, yeah, brother.
Hold on with that money stuff.
He took a $12 coupon for a nice little a po' boy. One of them catfish po' boys or something. Probably what happened. Something small that you wouldn't think twice about, you know, if you weren't a college athlete.
Right. You know what else that got me to thinking about?
What's
and
that?
This is random because I'm going on a little tangent here about suspensions.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, now this is not a fight suspension I'm talking about, but the
right.
Patriots Spygate situation. That ain't never going to get resolved.
Which one? This one or the most recent one? The first one?
The most recent one.
Yeah, man. With the
Bengals thing.
They probably like, oh,
because we came on here, we predicted that
nothing
they were going to do, or you said nothing, I said something. So it looks like you came out on the right side here. I've heard nothing about it. They haven't.
You might want to check one of these little, statement. You know, these little bookie sites and bet on some of those odds, or bet on some of those what are those things called? Those prop bets. Mm-hmm. You know, those little prop bets you can bet on, like, you know, somebody mm-hmm. gonna drop the coin during the
random
toss,
stuff,
or yeah. is it gonna rain?
That'd be perfect for the Super Bowl
third quarter. Yeah, I seen a crazy one. This one was amazing. This one is there was the Kansas City Chiefs will score 4 points.
4 points.
Yeah, and
like, man, more than a field goal four.
No, just
or four touchdowns.
Two safeties. No, two safeties.
Oh,
as four total
like
points.
Just one, two, three, four. Oh, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
And because it's the only it's the only point value or only reasonable point value that hasn't been attained in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy. I bet you people still bet on that just because.
Oh, heck yeah. There's also another. There's another prop bet where. You can bet that the 49ers, of course, would lose, or they'll lose in a comeback win. They would blow a 28-3 lead in favor of the Chiefs winning. You get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got you.
So there's also that. But there's a bunch of good ones you could do, like how long the national anthem will take. And
right. Oh, wait. I think they said Demi Lovato is doing national anthem.
Yep, there's a lot of jokes for that. Ain't
nobody
gonna
repeat
because the wife is a huge, huge Demi fan. She got pissed off one day. I made a joke. She got real mad.
Yeah. We won't repeat that.
I ain't gonna make the joke. Just play it over. Cause she listens to this. I don't want to get mad at me.
You made a joke about my friend. Like, who? You don't even
this
know
is
her.
My house. She don't even know you.
She don't know you. Sorry, baby. I love you,
baby. Karina, too. I know you're going to listen. So, yeah, the suspensions got laid out.
Man.
12 games for Silvio.
Sheesh.
And, of course, he will miss the second Baylor matchup. So, he wasn't really balling this year. He's only averaging like 3 points per game, something like that. So,
man.
It's not a big, big loss for them.
I mean, and those one or two possession games, that 3 points count, bro. Yeah.
That's
his,
true,
his presence friend. When he comes back is going to be known as like some sort of enforcer, man. You know, unlock a new badge on 2K when he comes back.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, Dane, we are almost in the month of February, and that means in basketball season, we are nearing the All-Star weekend, which this weekend will be on, or this time it'll be on Valentine's Day weekend.
Mm.
And this week they announced.
Those views are going to dip. I wonder if those views are going to dip. I don't know. I'm just wondering. I don't know historically, have they, you know, what weekend has it fallen on, but I'm just curious what those views will they increase because of Single Awareness Weekend? Or will it, you know, decrease because, of course, you know, everybody's booed up, you know, doing their dates and, you know, romantic dinners and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, that's my assumption, at least.
That's a good assumption.
What happened to the views?
I honestly think this one is going to be, like, the ratings are going to be one of the highest ratings of, or not all time, but that we've seen in a while, just because, and we'll talk about it in a few right here.
Right.
The
My bad, I didn't get us off topic. My bad,
y'all. No, you good.
I apologize.
Some of the new young stars we got in the All-Star game, and then got Dwight Howard coming back in the dunk contest. I think it'll be kind of hyped up, and I think you'll see a lot of people tune into it. So, so they announced the All-Star starters for the East and West this past week. Captains, LeBron, and why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. I didn't want to say that. But when you said Dwight Howard in the dunk contest, I was like, wait a minute. No, he's not. And I was like, wait, yeah, he is. And I was like, this is 2008?
I know. Don't bet.
This is like, man, freaking old, dude. Like, I mean, I know we were younger seniors in high school at the time, when, you know, with the Superman cape and all that stuff. But now, 2020, like, I'm sorry. My bad. Getting off on the tangent. Keep going.
We're getting old there, brother.
My bad.
We're getting old. You're just doing a little reminiscing.
That's true.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Eastern Conference All-Stars, Captain Giannis, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, Trae Young. Trae Young is, of course, second year guy, first time.
Good video.
Also, Pascal Siakam. Oh yeah, that video of Trae.
Yeah,
was awesome.
That was cool.
And then Pascal Siakam is his first time All Star, and he's a good dude, man. Like, I've listened to him talk. Like, when he won that Most Improved Player last year, and he talked on stage. He's really seems like a guy you could really root for. I don't know really much about him, but
it's enough for you,
like,
huh?
Good guy. Yeah. I only had to hear him once to figure out he was good. Dang.
Dude could be a serial killer.
I'm a great guy. Wow. I'm a great judge of character, man. I am a great judge of character. In the West, you got Anthony Davis, my guy Luka Doncic, James Harden, LeBron, and Kawhi. So that West lineup is pretty darn stacked there.
Yeah.
Anybody that you see might have or should have been an All-Star starter, they won't announce the reserves till next week. But
I don't really disagree with the list. There's nothing to it. I mean, my anticipation or my hope for it is that, you know, we get a nice game, get a little bit of defense here. It's not, you know, 200 to 180 like it has been in the past. But, you know, I don't think it's going to, you know how it goes.
And usually, you know, they ball, go crazy, play street ball for like three and a half quarters. And then that last quarter, they start locking down and matching up, playing pretty tough. So it should be interesting to watch. Like I said, I think the ratings are going to be high for this. It's going to be in Chicago this year. They actually announced the or showed the jerseys off. I was watching NBA on TNT with Ernie, Shaq, Chuck, and Kenny, and they showed off the jerseys.
Oh yeah,
some throwback pinstripe, like to represent the little Chicago era or whatever. But I'm happy. I'm a Mavs fan, so I'm happy to see Luka on here. He's been insane MVP candidate, really putting Dallas on his back
now. Especially considering how young he is.
Porzingis,
the weight that he's been having to carry.
Yeah. He's only 20 and supposed to have Porzingis. And Porzingis has not been bad, but he's not been...
Man, if you don't quit coddling that man.
What? I'm just saying, he's still recovering from that knee injury. He's like probably like a buck 05 at 7 feet.
Kristaps.
For real.
No way, but a buck 05.
He bought a buck 05.
Nah, I can see that.
But yeah, I'm excited to see who the reserves are going to be. But I'm pretty satisfied with these starters that they got right here. So that'll be coming up in, or All-Star Weekend is in 3 weeks. So
countdown begins.
Yeah. What do you think about Russell Westbrook the other day? He balled again, or he played against his former squad. You were showing me the video, and I hadn't even seen it.
The only possession you really need to worry about is the, I think it was the second to last possession that the Rockets had, or he had the opportunity, or the Rockets had the opportunity to, you know, I believe it was tie the game. Yeah, they had the opportunity to tie the game. They were down 110-107. Man, Harden brings the ball down the court. And I forget who he sees in the corner or who he anticipates in the corner. He's like, all right, bet. So he dishes it out in the corner, except the ball is intercepted by Russ. Russ then, you know, like, I don't know what he was thinking. He goes baseline all the way to the other side of the court and pulls up with a fadeaway three and misses. And it's not the fact that he pulled up, you know, with a fadeaway three and missed. It's not the fact that he stole the ball from a teammate. It's not the fact that he ran across the court. It's the fact that he's probably one of the lowest. His three-point percentage is probably one of the lowest on the teams, and he pulled the shot. So, I mean, I know, you know, rational Twitter doesn't like the, you know, analytics Twitter, but that's the last – or not the last guy. That's the second-to-last guy you want taking a three-point shot to tie the game. But, of course, as you can imagine, he misses, and, you know, the Thunder end up winning in their home court. Or not their home court. They were playing in Houston. But right. It kind of just leaves – for me, it came off like a foreshadowing. Like, this is what we're going to expect a few months down the road when they're sent home packing because they can't close out a realistic matchup with another team because boneheaded plays like that. Like, I would love to think – and you know this. You would love to think that habits like that you can get rid of, you can clean those up before playoffs get here. But those type of habits don't die easily, you know?
Right.
What does they say? What is that? Old habits die hard or something like that? Is that
old how it habits goes? Die hard.
Yeah.
Old habits die hard.
So, and then, you know, Harden, he didn't have a good shoot night himself either that night. I think he was 1-for-17 or 1-for-18 from three.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm coming off as a hater, which I am. I don't like to. Rockets, but keeping it real, that was probably one of the funniest
sequences
of events for me. But Houston sports haven't had a good few weeks anyway. So
they've been going through it, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
They've been going through it. Astros, Texans. Yeah. Well, the Rockets are the only hope, and
yeah, the only
that loss to the Thunder that made it there. Four straight loss, but they bounced back since then. They had two wins. They knocked off the Nuggets, who have been balling pretty good this year, and then the Timberwolves. And then they're battling with my Mavs for that division in the Southwest division. But it's going to be – I mean, it's still a lot of basketball left to be played.
Yeah, y'all good.
Yeah.
Well, you trying to be all humble and stuff? Yeah, going to be a fight. Nah, y'all be okay. Y'all will be just fine.
Well, you can say it, it's – No, I'm gonna be humble. I with those two, you can never count them out completely, but history has shown us in the playoffs. I understand where you're coming from in the playoffs. Yeah. They haven't always shown up when they need to. So
they put up pretty stats and stuff like that, but I mean 45-10 and 8 games only can get you so far.
Yeah.
So
it's really that West is tough anyway. It's just it's with the Mavs bouncing back this year and the Spurs having an off year, they're gonna be battling out in that division to see who can be the best team in Texas. So we'll see how that shakes out down the line. Did you happen to catch Zion Dane, rookie Xavier?
Man, so I was doing something. I can't remember what I was on. Maybe I was folding clothes or I was doing something, but I caught the 3-point shots. I was like, man, the first thing I seen was him shooting the three. And I was like, well, this dude's still hurt because he didn't leave the ground when he shot the three. He barely left the ground. So I was like, dang, this dude's really out there, you know, on one leg trying to make it happen. And then he splashed. And I was like, oh, okay. So then, you know, I was going back and forth between the living room and the kitchen, and I went back again, and he shot another three, and he made another. I was like, man, is this a new three, or is this the same three? They just keep replaying it because it looked like, you know, same shot. didn't leave the ground and ball, you know, nothing but net. But, you know, it was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed.
Right. So when I was watching it, I watched the first half and he was struggling. And that's normal for a guy that hasn't played ball in over a year, probably, or hasn't been that long, but long he hasn't enough. Played ball in a while. And a
big
yeah,
dude at that.
And his first NBA game. So I literally fell asleep with him struggling and people on Twitter talking about how rough it was for him. It was funny.
Just to talk about
social media in general, it's just so quick to hop on.
Yep.
Either like hop on live situation. I know that's normal, but it's just funny to see people tweet, oh, Zion this, Zion that. Like I wake up or I fall asleep to people saying his performance was a dud, blah, blah, blah. So I fall asleep. I wake up the next morning and like everybody's going crazy about Zion. So I'm like, whoa, what happened? So I look. And like you say, he hit all those threes. He hit four. He went 4 for 4, had 22 points. had a 4 for 4 from Wendy's. Dropped 22 points. They lost, but it was just crazy to see that quick. You know, I was just going off of what people were saying on social media about him not being ready and him being slow, tired, which could have been the case at the beginning because
the jitters,
you know,
first
like
game,
you said,
jitters like that.
Getting back in shape. Running up and down the court, all that
gotta
stuff.
Be in shape it's to get back in shape.
First NBA game, so just give it time. Like I wish, and we're in this society and now where it's hard for what's the best way to put it? People are so
criticism
instant. Criticism is instant
and recency bias.
It's like. It's so quick. Like, give people time to adjust. Give people time to develop. Give people time to make mistakes and do better next time. It's like people are so harsh to assume things.
That
you know what I'm trying to say?
No, I got you. Let me give you a prime example. The recency bias. Zion went off. His team lost. But the highlight is his first game back, or correction, his debut, he went off. And immediately, I knew I was going to run across some idiot that's going to say, "Man, Zion really about to win Rookie of the Year?" I'm like, "What? No, he's not. Have you not seen Ja Morant like playing like a grown man these last few months? Like, what are you talking about?"
Yeah.
And I even seen one that said, "Man, Zion giving Ja Morant and you know RJ a run for their money." I was like, "I know you didn't just try to sneak in RJ and all this. Like, he ain't." Come on. So.
Yeah.
But, this John Morant's award to
lose. People just tweet
lose.
Stuff or say stuff to go viral, be relevant.
Yeah, of course. It happens. But, yeah, that's funny that you say that. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, so I give him props on his debut. And, you know, they played again tonight and they lost to the Nuggets, but he dropped 15-6. So, he'll get there, man. He'll eventually get there, get that wind under his feet and get accustomed to playing NBA ball. But if he continues to shoot the ball like he did that first game, man, he's going to be something serious.
I just want to see someone as dominant. I mean, I know it's not going to happen because we'll never see that again. I just want to see somebody with a strong work ethic just dominate the game like the way that Shaq did. And Shaq didn't have that, you know, work ethic that, you know, a lot of these stars have right now. No, this to Shaq. Shaq's still the big diesel, still probably one of the most overpowering players of all time. But I like to see someone with that type of hype, you know?
Right.
And it'd be cliche for me to say I'd like to see somebody with that type of hype, you know, do what LeBron did. But he and LeBron are two different players, just like he and Shaq are different players. Not the same. They're not in the same ballpark, but it's that domination on both ends of the court is something that I would like to see again in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he might be, you know, the closest as far as a hype machine behind him. That might be the closest we can get.
Let's see what Bronny going to look like in 3 years.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's,
I feel like I look up,
that's
always a highlight for him. Yeah, that definitely
sucks
for him.
I was talking to one of my coworkers about that. She's a she's probably LeBron's biggest fan. And she was like, it's just awful that he has to play, you know, the same sports as his dad plays.
You know what I think about?
Michael Jordan, his kid?
Yeah.
We talked about the same thing.
Exactly, man. Oh. I think his son played for Central Florida. Asla's got to be, not to be, not to say that it's entirely sucky, look, but
come on, man.
Living,
you could have had your son playing football or something to make sure he didn't have that same. He didn't have that cloud over his head saying, like, you know what? You'll never be better than your dad. Or people coming to him.
Living up to that hype.
Yeah. Poor Marcus Jordan.
I remember he wore, I think he wore goggles.
The goggles. Yeah, he had the goggles on. The goggles and the headband combo. Looking like David Ruffin in Temptations.
I'm David Ruffin, and these are the Temptations.
Yeah. Poor guy. Oh, well. Poor guy. You know, I'm sure he's okay. I'm sure he's okay. But then, you know, MJ's a jerk, so I don't know. he comes over every Thanksgiving and say, like, hey,
do you remember that one Michael Jordan quote from when he was at North Carolina? I think it was last year, year before that. He was like, the ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
So I saw that on SportsCenter. I think they played it like last week or sometime. I was like, man.
I was like, Mike, what do
you?
He'll never let that down.
The ceiling is the roof. Now, buy my J's.
ain't nobody getting nothing for free.
So, Dane, we had the NFC and AFC championship games this past weekend. The Chiefs beat the Titans 35-24.
Man.
San Francisco beat Green Bay 37-20. Just seemed like too much KC in the AFC game, man. And it was Mahomes doing what he does best.
Balling.
Scrambling, running around, making plays. And they bottled up Derrick Henry. We talked about Derrick Henry going off these past few weeks, and looks like his train stopped in KC, that defense. They've been playing lights out these past few weeks, man. I know they didn't start out the hottest defense, but right now, I mean, you want to be playing your best football at this time. So they bottled up Derrick Henry. He only had 19 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown. They made Ryan Tannehill try to beat him, which he couldn't.
Nope. Unfortunately.
Props to Tannehill for game managing and getting him there, but it's just too much KC, man. Patrick Mahomes putting his team on his back. They got too many weapons out there.
Like,
what did you see in that?
Who are you going to take away? Yeah.
What did you see? Yeah.
Man, so first things first. If you don't mind, because I know you probably got the numbers, the stats, the Carfax, if you will. What were those predictions from the previous podcast, if you don't mind bringing those up? Just out of curiosity, brother.
So we both went 2-0. We both picked the Chiefs and Niners. And then the Niners, just too much defense to handle for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, 37-20. Aaron Rodgers struggled. It just looked like I started looking back and watching the game, and I'm like, how did Green Bay get here? They looked so good, like week one, week two, but they were 13-3. So, well, how do you think, Dane, how do you think they got to where they were at that point? Is it the defense? Was it Aaron Rodgers putting them on his back? Because they didn't, I think I mentioned that last podcast, how their offense wasn't as good as it had been with Mike McCarthy, but. Hey, they were balling. So what do you think got them there, and how do you think San Francisco stopped them from?
Well, their defense and the run game the 49ers made them one dimensional, getting up, you know, so high, or not getting up so high, getting such a commanding lead and forcing them to try to pass the ball. And when you know what your opponent is doing, you can scheme better against it, and you can cause very subtle mental mistakes that turn out to be costly. So I think that's how it happened. The entire season, I mean, all the, you know, Bears, Lions, and who's the fourth team in that division? Bears, Lions, and the Vikings fans. They can testify to just how beatable the Green Bay Packers were this year because of what they were doing. And, I mean, the 49ers just outcoached them. They just got outcoached.
Yeah.
Honestly, and the defense was the most dominant or the most relevant thing that game. And I know that's kind of cliche to say, but there are athletes and there are playmakers at all three levels on that defense. So they were hot.
Yeah. It's easy to play like that when you got the lead. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Garoppolo only threw 8 passes, man.
Mm-hmm. Run 8 game.
Passes. And then at that point, you could tell Kyle Shanahan.
It's Kyle, yeah, bro.
Kyle was just like, if you can't beat it, I'm not going to stop doing it.
Right.
So he kept handing the ball off.
Why? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So
42 carries, 285 yards as a team, 4 touchdowns. Running game and defense got him to the Super Bowl, man. So yeah,
it's just like old school football.
Right. It really was old school throwback football. Like, if you're not going to stop it, I'm going to keep running it.
But it's what they say. It's what they say at all levels of football. Pee-wee to the NFL, the game is won in the trenches. You dominate up front. Everything else will take care of itself. If you look at there's a specific camera that they use. One of those cameras behind, what is that guy? Is it called an umpire, right? That's behind the running back. If you look at the camera that was showing behind or in front of him, you could see just the gaping holes that were opening for him. And not to say that just because you know, the line opens up these gigantic lanes, it's just that easy for the running back to run. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that a great offensive line is complemented by a great running back, and vice versa. The great running back is complemented by a great offensive line. So as easy as it was for them to open up those lanes for him, he has to have the awareness and the run ability to get to those, you know, lanes, sometimes quickly, sometimes patiently, in order for those runs that, you know, took off the way that they did. They develop a certain way based on the patience of the runner, so, or the lack thereof. So I think it was a thing of beauty. Anybody who's an offensive line coach that was watching the game, they were like, oh, that's probably like a daydream for them. So just seeing some of the blocking schemes. So, and that's just all goes back to just coaching, great coaching.
Yeah. So we got our Super Bowl matchup, Dane. It's the Chiefs and the Niners. Mm. We won't give our prediction yet because we'll do that next week.
Okay.
But
okay,
we'll talk a little bit about what you expect and if you're excited for it and stuff like that.
Right, so now?
The Chiefs, yeah, the okay, Chiefs cool. are.
My bad.
The Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite, so you can kind of see like, it's kind of neck to neck, kind of evenly matched teams here.
Ooh, just wait.
Patrick Mahomes versus Jimmy Garoppolo. I've been going back and forth, but of course I'm not going to predict, but I think this is going to be one of the best Super Bowls we've seen in a very long time.
A memorable one.
I think it's going to, yeah, I think it's going to come down to the last possession.
Mm.
It won't be a 10-7 or 10-3 or whatever score we had last year. I think the game will be in the 20s and 30s.
You thinking it's going to come down to a 4th-and-7 and it's going to be a trick play that gets the first down, but they have to hurry to the line because they're already out of timeouts. They didn't, you know, run out of bounds or anything like that. So they have to hurry up, spike the ball, and they're going to try to kill the suspense by cutting, well, not kill the suspense. They're going to try to drag out the suspense by cutting to the commercial. But instead, we're going to, you know, see everyone mic'd up, what the coaches are saying. And then they're going to get down to it. And then boom, they're going to cut to a commercial. And then when they come back, you know, we're going to, you know,
see what happens.
Somebody, one of the announcers, gonna say, "All right, here goes for the first win in, you know, over 5 decades." And, you know, boom, that's how it's gonna happen. Type of deal. Is that what you're saying is gonna come down to? Yes. Something like that?
Okay. It's gonna be extra dramatic. Some dramatic like that.
Yeah, I
agree. I'm happy for Andy Reid, even though I don't like the Chiefs because I'm a Broncos fan. Andy Reid, it'd be nice to see him win. Yeah, to see him win a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, man, we're going to have to deal with him for like the next 12 to 15 years, mm-hmm. maybe even longer than that. Then on the other side, San Francisco.
Have to deal with them too.
To get their sixth ring to catch the Patriots and the Steelers.
That's crazy, man.
It's what it, out of all the hype and stuff going around this game, what is one thing you're looking forward to? It could be a matchup, it could be a player, something like that. What is something you're looking forward to in the
I'm looking world? Forward to the emergence of the conversation that running backs do matter. You see a lot of, since this is a passing league. We've known this. We've been heading in this direction ever since, you know, the first remnants of the West Coast offense or the spread offense, you know, captivating in the way that it has. This is a passing team, but I so much look forward to running backs having just as much impact in a big time game as quarterbacks. And not to say that, you know, they can do their jobs better than they can, but we're going to see more than anything this game, just how important they are, because they are two great defenses, two great pass defenses at that, or they are. Let me say this. The 49ers have a great pass defense. The Chiefs, not so much. The Chiefs have a lot of star talent at all three levels. Excuse me. Correction, two of the three levels. Linebackers are pretty average for the most part, but secondary and D-line, they're pretty straight. But I would like to see running backs reclaim their dominance and their place in the NFL. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
That's a good topic, Dane, because like you said, people are trying to, not just people, what am I looking for? Critics.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to phase out the running back. And like we saw in the championship game, running game still matters.
Yep.
Running game still matters, man. But I'm looking forward to Patrick Mahomes going against that D-line. I saw someone mention it. I'm not sure who it was. On social media, but they were talking about how San Francisco struggled against scrambling quarterbacks this year.
Mm-hmm.
They played against, you know, both games against Seattle were pretty close with Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And both games against Arizona was close as well. They beat Arizona by 8-3.
Mm-hmm.
They lost one to Seattle in overtime, and they won a close one at the end. Did they play Kansas City this year? No, they did not play Kansas City this year, but yeah, I was looking at the Niners schedule, but they hadn't played Kansas City this year.
Preseason maybe?
Oh, I think it was last year they played. Oh, okay. But San Francisco struggled with scrambling quarterbacks, so I want to see how they adjust to playing against Mahomes. And there was a quote, not a direct quote, but Chris Harris was talking about how it's very tough to defend Patrick Mahomes because you, as a corner, you're not covering for the normal 4 or 5 seconds. When he's scrambling around, you're covering 10 seconds, and that tires out a defense.
Sure does.
Having to constantly play longer snaps. So I want to see how that defense adjusts to him,
mm-hmm.
if they're going to try to contain him, different looks they're going to give to him and stuff like that. But I really think it's going to be one of the best Super Bowls we've seen in a long time.
Hope so.
And I'm looking forward to it. Very looking forward to it. So we will give our predictions on that on our next episode before the Super Bowl. So,
oh, man.
So you're going to have to tune in next week.
Is that a cliffhanger?
Yeah, gotta leave.
You'll find out next time on Dragon Ball Z.
All right, so we got this weekend. We don't have any. Correction. We do have football.
Yeah, we do.
But it's Pro Bowl.
Watch your mouth.
Football.
Yeah.
Commentated by our favorite host, Booger McFarland.
Booger, aka Zion Williams.
Bro, these Booger McFarland memes, Captain Obvious memes, are hilarious.
Yeah, they're just bad. They're just bad, man. It just off. It's like, he really said that.
Yeah. Or something like, similar to that.
Said, boy, that died CTE. Something serious.
Golly. So, NFL trying to, you know, do a little experiment, Dame, for this Pro Bowl. Mm. They announced that they'll be doing two rule changes.
Oh, so it's going to fix all the problems, out. Right?
Yeah, everything's going to be fine after they test it, and football's going to be perfect. The refs are going to be perfect. We're not going to complain as fans. All that good stuff.
Cool.
All right. Let me see. The first rule that they're going to experiment with, options after a successful field goal or try attempt. So if you score a touchdown, you do the extra point, or if you kick a field goal. So a score has happened, the point after has happened. So to replace an onside kick, in lieu of an onside kick, a team may elect to go for it or on their own 25-yard line, fourth and 15. And if they get the fourth and 15, they keep the ball in lieu of the onside kick. And so instead of doing an onside kick, they try on a fourth and 15. If they don't get it, it's the other team's ball. If they get it, they continue to drive.
Man.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that looks, especially I think they kind of looked at the statistics to see that the onside kick has
like
not been very successful.
Like 4 or 5 successful ones this year?
Yeah, man. I think it's tough. It's very tough. So what do you
think? Two of them came in one game, too. It's crazy.
Which game do you know?
I think it was the Bears. The Bears and I seen it in a montage over the weekend. I think it might have been the Bears game. That's all I know. Bears and the Saints, I think. Bears and the Saints, if I'm not mistaken. Because I think Alvin Kamara, he might have dropped one of the onside kicks, and the Bears ended up recovering. Or maybe it was one of them was a penalty. I don't remember. It was definitely more than one in one game, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry if I lied just now. Apologize.
It's okay. We're not a perfectionist podcast here, but we're getting there. So Dane, what do you think about this rule change that they're experimenting with?
Well, I have no problems with it. We talked about it a few podcasts ago. That's crazy saying that out loud. We talked about it a few podcasts ago that the Pro Bowl needed to be fixed because it just didn't seem, I mean, we understand it's why, you know, risk your health in a meaningless game, but we know that the NFL had a history, or there was a standard for the Pro Bowl some years ago, you know, back when we were in middle school and high school, there was a standard. And I feel like that we've over time, they've deviated from that. Now, I completely understand players are more concerned about staying healthy for, you know, their season. Some of them might not even be under contracts, and why risk getting hurt? But I think this is cool. They're trying to make sure or ensure that their viewership doesn't drop. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. I'm not sure what are they anticipating to see. I don't know, but I think any type of change is necessary. But I hope it doesn't, with this 4th and 15, the only issue that I have with this 4th and 15 deal is a lot of the guys in the NFL, they make their name and they make their money on special teams. Some of those on the cusp guys, they make their money by being on, you know, the punt team, by being on the hands team, being on the kick return team. So by taking that opportunity away from them by replacing it with a 4th and 15, what is that? What type of implications will that have long term on NFL rosters? Not to say that every team is going to do away with kicking off the ball, but one seriously has to, you know,
that's a good point.
You really, really, really would have to be concerned. It's really would have to be concerned with the nature of your extra guys, especially if you're one of those teams that always gives up the goose on 4th and 15 and you're boom, your defense is out there for technically 2 possessions in a row. So what does that mean for the 53-man roster? Does that mean we have more players per? I don't know. I don't know what that is, but maybe I'm just overthinking it. But those are my thoughts. Those are my immediate thoughts rather than that.
That's a good point. And another thing I was thinking about was we talked about how we can make the Pro Bowl more interesting. Mm-hmm. I believe this is the way right here for the NFL to do that, as well as try to improve the game at the same time. Like, use the Pro Bowl, continue to use the Pro Bowl. And we'll see how this works. But you can continue to use the Pro Bowl as an experimental tool to experiment with new rule changes.
Right.
Just to see how it looks and, you know, keep the fans interested. And so the fans can kind of see that the NFL is trying to listen to what the stats say or what the stats show, listen to what the fans are saying about the game. And hopefully they could use this to continue to improve the game and make it better, things of that sort. So, and then the other rule change they have on here was not calling a false start on a flinch by a flexed out receiver.
Hmm.
So it's basically the rule is saying it's a lot of rule speak in here, but I'm basically going to break it down. And from what I got from it was it's saying, as long as they don't pick up both feet when they flinch and they reset their foot within a second, then they're fine.
Okay.
Which, I don't know. We're always taught to stay still, watch the ball.
Right.
And I don't, if you got people flinching out here, it's just, I don't know.
It creates like a lot of, it's going to, I don't know.
A lot of confusion and. I'm excited I won't watch from first quarter to fourth quarter, but I'll watch a little bit of it to see.
You'll be tuned in.
I'll tune in a little bit to see what's going on, see how the rule changes look on the visual.
Yeah.
But I watched the little Pro Bowl showdown they had the other day.
You did right.
And I've always, what's so funny, I really like the little drills and stuff they have the players
skills challenges and stuff.
Skills challenge. And then at the end, they have the dodgeball thing. And what Karina said, which really made sense, is like to see real athletes do regular things that we do in PE growing up. Like dodgeball, you can really see their athleticism on play. And so if you haven't watched it, check that out, because Jarvis Landry
put the team on his back.
He put the team on his back. Once again, they actually went through, it's funny, they went through his Pro Bowl showdown or Pro Bowl skills challenge highlights, like from 17, 18, and 19. He's like,
wow.
He shows up for the Pro Bowl skill challenge. It's kind of funny. Pro Bowl is this Sunday. Check it out. Check out those rules. It should be a doozy. Dang, we got the Senior Bowl coming up soon, and to be honest, I haven't been in tune with the rookies as you have, but I've seen a couple guys shining in the practices, especially my boy from Baylor, Denzel Mims. Is there anybody else during the Senior Bowl that's caught your eye or probably made their draft stock go up a little bit?
Yes. So the first guy that comes to mind for me, and this is no big surprise, he's probably going to go in the first round. Javon Kinlaw. He's a defensive tackle for South Carolina. He's a big dude. He's like 6'6", 315, 320 pounds, but he is quick. Now, we've seen in the past, the most recent and obvious example of people or players, you know, skyrocketing their stock, would be Aaron Donald. Now, Aaron Donald, of course, shattered so many records his final year in Pittsburgh. He was already on, you know, the first, second, excuse me. He was already on the first or second round radar for many teams, but with sealed the deal that year was how well he performed in the Senior Bowl, out there in Alabama. Actually the two people that performed the best that year would have been Aaron Donald and Zach Martin, surprisingly. And of course, Aaron Donald was picked, I think, 12th or 13th that year. And then, of course, Zach Martin was picked 16th or 17th, maybe. I should remember this, but I don't. But notably, the first one that jumped off for me was Javon Kinlaw. And the only downside to that is, and now this could have been strategic, or this could have been like, or this could have been very intentional, or this could have been a complete, you know, I don't know, a real deal. But he got injured after the second practice. So I don't think he participated yesterday, and I'm not sure if they had any type of activities for them today, but he definitely, you know, walked off limping with something hurt with his knee. So I'm not sure if that was planned. Like, his agent was like, hey, you know, take a dive after, you know, these many days. So they, you know, as he was monitoring his name being mentioned and stuff like that, I don't know, or maybe he was realistically hurt, but who knows? The second guy that was pretty
I miss decent. Having NFL Network.
Yeah, me too, man. Mm-hmm. Me too. But there's a lot of good people that you can follow on Twitter that post a lot of good stuff, and these are your authentic NFL scouts, or your authentic scouts and, you know, writers, that some of them are from The Athletic. I mean, there's not too many people from NFL.com that I would trust following, because, you know, they stick to some of these horrible, you know, stereotypes and buzzwords and, you know, outdated philosophies as far as draft coverage goes. But I'll shoot you a few guys that you can look or follow. But is it Neville Gallimore from Oklahoma? He's been pretty good. He's another defensive tackle that's been showing out. Yep.
I remember him from Baylor, when Baylor played him. Shoot.
Like, real good hands. Like, really, really, really good hands in the one-on-ones. And, you know, you can't really tell if he's just really dominating the other guy, or they just, you know, if they're going 75% one day or what. Because when you are watching the live coverage, sometimes what you're hearing and seeing is commentators talking, and that's not really what anybody wants to hear. Right. For anybody who's looking for or needs or wants a playmaker on the offense, KJ Hill has been showing out. He's been doing a lot of good things. Ohio State, they have a history of
that video, that one hand video I saw on Twitter.
Yeah.
Him making that catch. It's like, yeah, KJ, he's going to be a day one starter, man, in my opinion. Yeah.
He reminds me of like a. Was a good comp.
Stephon Diggs for me.
For me, Stephon Diggs is a real good comparison. I'm going to go with, what's that little dude's name? Crowder. I think his last name is Crowder.
Oh, Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, I think it's Jamison Crowder. Is it Jamison Crowder?
Redskins, Jets.
Yeah, Redskins, Jets. And Jamison Crowder is already a smaller guy. He doesn't have the long speed like Jamison Crowder does. But when I think about somebody before the catch, the route running, that's the first person that comes to mind for me. And that, you know, of course, is a cop out because he's short and quick like he does. But before the catch, he's amazing. Another guy that's been, you know, doing pretty godlike things is, Harrison Bryant, a tight end out of Florida. Not the Florida. I think it's Florida Atlantic, maybe. I think it's Florida Atlantic. One of the schools in Florida. One of the small schools in Florida. But he's been, a lot of the guys have been comparing him basically because of the quickness in his routes, his soft hands, and then, of course, he's a hell of a blocker in the, you know, the drills and a lot of the team practices they've been having so far. They've been comparing him to Travis Kelce and George Kittle, which anybody who doesn't know who those two guys are, they could watch the Super Bowl in a few weeks to find out exactly who those two guys are. They're probably the best two tight ends in the league, if not both of them are definitely top three. Yep. Maybe number three.
I'm not putting nobody ahead of them. Yeah, I'm not only, putting Ertz ahead of them.
No, I'm not saying he's ahead of them, but I'd say in that conversation, Ertz would probably be like number three. If I had to just name him out. But that's who he's like. And team, that's who the comps are going to be.
And it's a copycat league, so teams are going to try to find the next Kittle, the next Kelsey. So a tight end or a player like that that could stretch the field but block and run protection and run blocking. Those are going to be high value picks.
Yeah, and you probably won't see any tight ends get drafted in the first round this year. Maybe. I mean, that's the hope. That would be cool for the position itself. There are a lot of guys that are going to be in the NFL this year that are like, whoa, is that a receiver? Is that just a big body receiver? Because, yeah, so. And then think the last guy, I'm not going to go through too many guys. Let's see my notes here. My last guy that was really showing out. I'm going to go with a Division II guy. Kyle Duggar. He's a true in-the-box safety, about 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds, and he's from Lenoir Rhyne University. And one of the hardest things about
super small school guy.
One of the hardest things about, and this is words, shout out to Bucky Brooks. I was listening to him on one of the Dallas Cowboys podcasts that he had the other day. Is this like breaking the fourth wall? Like speaking about another podcast within a podcast. but anyways, he was speaking about how the
podception.
Podception. He was talking about the difficulties in evaluating small school guys. And he said there's two things you look for. The first thing is when you're looking at their tape, are they dominating the competition? Even though they're at a small school or even if they're Division II, are they dominating the competition? And when you say dominate the competition, you mean, does it look like a grown man playing versus little kids? That's the first thing. So just think, I don't know, if you're a safety, you want to see somebody that looks like they're a step ahead of the quarterback. The tackles look very violent or extremely violent. Mm-hmm. You might get, you know, there might just be every time someone catches the ball, he's just around.
Doing something to separate yourself from the competition you're playing. Exactly. You got to stand out, playing on that type of level. You got to be all over the field, making plays, standing out, stuff like that.
And that's exactly what he did. With his size and him being 6'2 and 220, he's played as, you know, an in-box safety. He's played in the slot. He's played as a linebacker. He's played several – he's even in the Senior Bowl, he's even been returning punts. So that's one thing that he thinks about. And the second piece of criteria to that would be, does he look like he's lost out there at the Senior Bowl? Or what is it? I think he said like a fish out of water or something like that. Or does he just blend in? And basically said he's been blending in pretty well. The thing that stood out to me when I seen him, I was like, wait, who's this, you know, big dude with the locks? Because I thought it was a linebacker at first. But then he was out there covering, you know, receivers during the one-on-ones. I was like, okay, who's this guy? And why have I never heard of him? And boom, because I didn't even know the university he went to existed until a few days ago. So those are the guys I've been keeping an eye on or seeing. I mean, there's plenty of other guys that deserve attention too. But, you know, those guys in particular are there who I've seen during the Senior Bowl that have been just showing out. Nice. Making the most out of it. So,
and that's Dane Beasley with our draft update. He's our guru here on the podcast.
So, I wouldn't say all that. No, I just I like to keep up with some of the hot topic guys out there and stuff like
pushes
that.
Pushes up glasses.
Well, actually, yeah.
So the draft's coming up in April. In Las Vegas, Dane. Did you see that they're talking about having it on the water on Bellagio out there and bringing the players out on boats?
Yeah, nothing about that seems like a bad idea. When you first read that, nothing seems like a bad idea until you read it the second time. It's like, you know what? What could possibly go wrong? One of the first things I thought about was like, wait, so before I get drafted, do I have to like sign a waiver saying that I won't sue anybody if I fall in the water or like What?
Well, like, I saw a tweet. Somebody said who's going to be the first player to jump in the water. Like, you know how we're just talking about odds? Celebrate. What's the odds on the first player jumping in the water? This is so funny about odds because it's in Vegas.
Man.
You know, got the casinos betting. Yeah. Now they got the Raiders. So, shoot. They're coming up over there.
I think I'm going to watch. I mean, I watch the draft every year anyways, but I'm definitely going to be glued to the TV or glued to my iPad watching it because someone's going to be something stupid is going to happen. Someone's going to do something dumb. Somebody's going to accidentally fall in the water. Like anything you could possibly think of with water, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past any of those guys to do something crazy.
Yeah, especially because your adrenaline's high. You know, probably, not probably, but you've been looking forward to this your entire life. So, yeah, something wild is going to happen with that. We can only anticipate that.
Switching gears, Dane, staying in the NFL, but we're going to talk about Antonio Brown, man.
Man.
Antonio Brown. So we'll kind of talk about. Let's just say he was arrested this week for battery from a moving truck driver that said he refused to pay the truck driver, and him and his trainer assaulted this guy. Mm-hmm. But Dane, I'm gonna pass it to you in a second. I'm gonna have you talk about the timeline of what brought Antonio Brown here. But go ahead, man.
Let's assume that everyone knows that he hasn't been on the team. Let's assume that everyone knows that he had a trial with the New Orleans Saints. So New Orleans Saints, they're still in the playoffs. I think they held trials for Antonio Brown, asked them. I think some demands weren't met as far as the trial conditions were concerned. And they ended up not offering him a deal or offering him, you know, a contract. So there's that. And the crazy thing is almost all the teams that he, you know, rolled with ended up, you know, one by one eliminating themselves from the playoffs, which is just crazy. I mean, of course, it could just be a huge coincidence, but I mean, come on, especially the way the Saints lost. But anywho, Drew Rosenhaus, who's Antonio Brown's agent, he basically cut off his relationship with him, and the only way to mend that relationship, if you will, or for him to get his agent back would be, of course, if he quote unquote got some help. If he got some help, then Drew agreed to, you know, continue the business, continue relationship with him, you know, as far as representing him. Mm-hmm. And not even a week later, this incident with Antonio Brown and his trainer, Glenn Holt, they basically were, of course, how the story goes is, they packed up some of his belongings into the truck, and the moving guy, I'm not sure if there are multiple guys, but the moving guy basically says, you know, you need to pay me. And of course, Brown refused to pay him. And then there were some damages to his truck that I think Antonio Brown and Holt were responsible for. And they, of course, went back and forth about paying for the damages. And once Antonio Brown agreed to pay for the damages, the moving guy came back to his house. And then at that point, that's when he decided to steal some things off of his truck. And when he said steal some things, he took some of his own stuff back, which wasn't an issue. The issue was when he unintentionally stole some boxes off the moving truck that weren't his. I'm assuming they were with one of the other clients that the moving company was working with. So when he was told, when the moving company guy told him about it, of course he damaged the two boxes or the two items that, that were, you know, inside of the boxes. And at that point, the driver, of course, reported it to the police. And if I'm not mistaken, I think both parties might have been arrested. Now I think, you know, as everyone knows, Antonio Brown, of course, you know, quote unquote, barricaded himself inside of his house and refused to, I guess, the rumor is he refused to get arrested, which I don't know how you want to, you know, however you want to sum that up or illustrate that, you go by all means do that. But long story short, Antonio turns himself in and he ended, you know, the police standoff, if you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was granted bail on Friday with, you know, basically with three or four charges, and his agreements, one of several agreements, of course, was he was required to wear an ankle monitor with GPS. And then he, you know, which is pretty customary for high profiles to, you know, give up their passports and go through some sort of mental evaluation, or for him, go through some sort of mental health evaluation, which I hope was.
I think that part right there is the important part. Like, I really hope that this honestly might be the best thing for him. I think he needs to be checked mentally to see if he's mentally healthy.
Hold him accountable
at this point. Yeah, I am. I'm holding him accountable.
They need to hold him accountable. My bad.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Gotcha. Appreciate you,
Chief. Yeah, just he needs to be checked.
We need to be put in check.
It's just, yeah, it's just too much. This is a sign of, now I'm not a mental health expert, but it just feels like something's off. It's been incident after incident. You kind of seen this guy unraveling over the past few months, over a year. And you hope that it doesn't end up being worse.
Tragic.
You're always like, right. And every time you look up at a headline for Antonio Brown, you don't want to, you never want to wish harm on anybody. So, or him harming anyone or anything like that. So I think this is for the best for, this is the best for him to see if he's right mentally. Not even worry about football right now. Just, you got a family, man. You have kids looking up to you, and it's not that he's going to hear this, but it's just like mental health is very, very important, man. Like a lot of people kind of put it down or not seeing it as something that's
not taking serious,
very healthy or serious. It's very, very serious, man. And not to excuse, Aaron Hernandez. No, you're good. I was just gonna say I watched that Netflix documentary with Aaron Hernandez, and I'm not excusing him for what he did, but when they kind of talked about CTE and how that he was one of the youngest to have it at that age, like the severity of it, I'm not saying that caused him to do what he did, but I feel like that
definitely didn't
kind of
help
mess with, right, and not everybody is going to act the same or react the same to having something wrong with their brain. So
because we still don't know a lot about it.
Right,
we're still in
the
dark about,
and, you know, documentaries in general can be biased this way or that way, but one thing I did get from that, and of course what he did was wrong, that is the truth, and I'm not going around that, but
that's the
one thing
line.
That I, right, and one thing I learned from that documentary, or what I thought was important, was how CTE is like very, very serious. I mean, I knew it was serious, but it's becoming more and more prevalent each day. And like you see these players retiring early. Luke Kuechly mm-hmm. retire early.
Patrick Andrew Willis. Luck,
even though it wasn't for his concussion. Patrick Willis. You see Calvin like star Johnson. Players retiring early.
Last because in their Detroit careers is because, horrible.
You see these players retire early in their careers, and I think it has something to do with them wanting to be mentally stable when they're in their 40s, their 50s. Junior Seau took his life to have his, I mean, because he was going through stuff. It's just like
there's too many examples out there. You know, out there
we
for
love
us
the
reference.
Game, but yeah, man, it's serious. So, I just hope for his sake that he gets the help he needs. Like, I really mean that, because you don't want to look up and see another headline, like the worst possible headline you can see. So,
yeah.
Hopefully for him, he gets the help, and we'll see a better. Things will start to improve in his life. So,
can only hope, man.
I can only hope, man. You can only hope. Your boy Eli Dane Manning.
Oh,
Manning boy.
Oh,
put his jersey up for good. What you think about it?
I mean, shout out to him. It's a very rewarding career that we got to see in the last few years. As a Cowboys fan, you know, that's probably had two of the most historic Super Bowl runs that we've ever seen or that anybody's ever seen. But this one is definitely one of those head scratchers that when he retires, like this, I more than anything, because we see this conversation a lot with across all sports. You know, does he belong in the Hall of Fame? How soon will he be in the Hall of Fame? Is it going to be unanimous? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be first ballot? You know, blah, blah, blah. But for this one, this is probably one of the most divided I've seen people. And this is on the radio. This is on TV. This is on Twitter. I haven't been on Facebook, so I wouldn't know how people responded to that. But you have legit arguments for both sides of when he retired. Where does this leave him at as far as Canton is concerned? Because, you know, he does have the two Super Bowl rings, where there's not many quarterbacks can say they have two Super Bowl rings. Shoot, there's not that many franchises that say they can say they have two Super Bowl rings. And in that, there's not too many people that say that, not too many quarterbacks that can say that they beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl twice. So, but then when you say that, there's also, you know, what type of biases exist with, you know, his last name, him being a Manning. What type of biases exist because he's in, you know, in the limelight of the New York media? What type of biases exist when you consider that, you know, he's his career total, you know, his career total wins loss record is, you know, at 500. So there's a lot of things to unpack there. Now, thankfully, the sports writers, he's going to the Hall of Fame, whether people want to, you know, like it or not. Now, those are just the facts. He's going there.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
All those, you know, arguments that you, or all those hundreds of pages of notes and documents that you can reference about, you know, different quarterbacks being in the Hall of Fame with this stat or that stat and not having this, but you say what you
sometimes you just got to throw stats out the window or throw records out the window.
Throw logic
just,
out the window sometimes.
Yeah, just more like an eye test. Like, I know these last few years, he wasn't the best quarterback.
At all.
But those two Super Bowl runs were crazy.
Yeah. Like, some of those throws were just
like you said, historic plays in those Super Bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
Throws that he made. Maneuvering in the pocket. It's
knocking
just
off some of the teams that he did.
Yeah, and sometimes you just gotta say, man, throw the record out.
Yeah.
You just see what Hall of Fame moments are about. And like, I never was the biggest Eli Manning fan, and I didn't hate him.
Yeah.
You know, but he made plays, man. Yeah. He got him two Super Bowl rings. He knocked off the greatest quarterback ever twice.
Yeah.
So,
and then to play for me to play, let me play devil's advocate here. And then in the same, which makes this entire argument so unique, is in the same breath, the only playoff wins that he had were in those two runs, those 2 years. All the other seasons were either you didn't make the playoffs or they were one and done.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, believe it or not, he's had what I think four or five Pro Bowl seasons, but he's not once has he had a, no, not, you know, not even that. I mean, because he has Super Bowl MVPs that can take the place of it, but not once has he been listed as an all pro, on an all pro team, not the first team at least. And I don't know if you can think of any quarterback that has been in the Hall of Fame that hasn't been. I mean, that alone, I mean, the Pro Bowl is one thing. Those are, you know, popularity contests, but the all pro teams or the decade teams, those, the sports writers that, you know, do the voting and things like that, they put a lot of stock in that. So what do you make of that? Another thing, the interceptions. Leading the league in interceptions, you know, in so many years, like, how do you leverage that? The only thing I can think of is Brett Favre. Is Brett Favre, you know, still made it to the Hall of Fame, given that, you know, he, you know, such a gunslinger that he was, all the interceptions that he had. But there, it's very interesting to see all the arguments that people are coming up with about, you know, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not a Hall of Famer? But realistically, he's a Hall of Famer. He's going in the Hall. And it's not going to be the last man in to go in the Hall, because I think there's another one. I think there's a high school one right now. I don't know whose kid it is, but he's
Cooper. It's Cooper's kid.
Okay, it's Cooper's kid.
The one that didn't make it into the league.
Yeah, the one that got injured. Okay, so Cooper's kid. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be the last man in to get to the Hall of Fame. Let me not get ahead of myself. Get to the NFL. But these dudes, they aren't going anywhere. The Manning legacy isn't going anywhere. So.
I don't know, man. I just think at some point you knock off the greatest quarterback of all time twice,
right,
on the biggest stage.
It's got to count for something.
That trumps numbers to me.
Yeah.
That trumps, you know, what he struggled to get on those other years. It's really, like you said, he's gonna get in. It's just,
you could try to hurt yourself thinking about it, but. I mean, aside from the mental gymnastics that you got to use to keep him out of the Hall of Fame, it's just much easier to say, yeah, he's probably gone. Now, he's more than likely not going to be first ballot, but at the same time, he's got so many things going for him. So, yeah.
We have to wait and see. One of our favorite things to listen to, Dane, is the untold stories.
Oh, my gosh.
Master Tess. His latest episode was for those that don't know, Master Test is from Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
And he has these little unique interview sessions with
true
these former
Hollywood
NFL
stories.
Players. Right. Hear. And the players tell literally untold stories of different funny, crazy things that happened while they're in the league. In this recent episode had Donovan McNabb, and he was talking with Donovan about their NFC championship runs back in the day.
Them fools were diabolical.
Back to back to back NFC championship games, and how they were, after they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, how they were clamoring to get back to the big stage, and you know, they were going to get back. And he mentioned the T.O. situation where T.O. was not reporting to camp. And, you know, Donovan and T.O. have been having this feud. Yeah, they've been having this feud ever since this time. Mentioned how,
you know,
how go ahead, Dan.
You know how old the feud is? The T.O. and Donovan McNabb beef is old enough to drive next year. That's how... dude from CBS or
so
CBS.
Almost 18 year old
beef and that's not something I didn't make that up. Somebody on Twitter said that.
Oh wait, 16 year old beef, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but it's that beef is old enough to drive next year.
Crazy.
So but my bad, I didn't mean to interrupt. Keep going, brother.
Yeah, so Donovan had mentioned how, you know, what T.O. had did in the offseason was kind of a distraction to the team, and it kind of unraveled from that point. But they had already had previous – this has been mentioned so much over the past few years, and that's why we mentioned how long this beef was going on. And so T.O. responded on Twitter
Going in.
Going in.
The only way that he knows how.
Yeah. Typical Terrell Owens.
Love him.
He mentioned, I know one of his quote tweets said, ask him why he was throwing up in the Super Bowl. It's because he was partying the night before, hungover.
Which he had a history of doing, dating back to his college days.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I really like both these guys. And during this time, during the run that the Eagles had, mm-hmm. Seeing Donovan and T.O., I wish that tandem would have stayed together longer, but because I think they would have eventually got back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because T.O. came back. He had the broken leg that year, played with a screw in his leg and balled out. So I think they were clutch enough to get back there. But you hate to see that these guys are still feuding. In my opinion, I just think at this point, why does it really matter?
It's pride, man. It's pride. It's
and
gonna be
T.O.'s very prideful, and what are you saying?
Their beef is gonna be what the Magic and Zeke beef was for the '80s and '90s, and what the Kobe and Shaq beef was for the 2000s. And the best thing about those two beefs is they resolved them. So I'm not saying anytime soon, but eventually. They're going to have to come to terms with you know what? We grown men. We're going to have to just squash this and, move on about our lives. But
yeah,
there's a lot of bitterness and unresolved. I mean, sports will do that to you, especially when you're consistently as good as that Eagles dynasty. Well, I can't say they were a dynasty because they didn't technically win anything back then, but there's no one that can deny they were dominant was it four straight? Was it four straight NFC championships they went to?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
There's no way in hell that you can argue that they weren't a great team, that there wasn't something that was going right for you to end up in four NFC championships in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So, say what you want, whether it's, Donovan, not being a true leader and owning up to his mistakes, or T.O. being, a narcissistic a-hole, or someone who doesn't, every time he goes somewhere, drama always falls. Call it whatever you want, but whatever it is, at some point in time, those two dudes are gonna have to put it, put all that BS to the side and shake hands and put this behind them, because I mean, they both were great, but this back and forth is come on, it's getting a little old. Y'all too
grown. No, getting 16 years old.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I said all that to say this. I'm on T.O.'s side.
Like mostly everybody.
Yeah, that's my dog.
I when I mentioned this to Bo, Bo hates Donovan McNabb so bad. It's funny, man. I got to get Bo to come on the pod one time.
Man, tell us how he really feels about Donovan McNabb. But it's true. It's true. Like, I mean, T.O. goes after everybody, but that's because a lot of people, believe it or not, a lot of people have done him wrong, done him dirty, the way they did him in Dallas. And made him the scapegoat for their, the failures, when that's not necessarily true. But I mean, for Donovan to act as on that episode, for Donovan to act as innocent, excuse me, as he was, and not own anything, and there's no telling, because the interview itself was only 5 minutes long, and we know for a fact they didn't just meet for 5 minutes. There's probably an hour or 30 minutes, and they chopped up with what would get the best views and the most views. So there's no telling what all went down. So maybe he was transparent. Maybe he was, hey, I did, create some faults, but that's not going to get your views. The gritty, ugly, dirty, backstabbing stuff, that's what's going to get you the views. So that's probably what's posted. That's just what I'm guessing here. Whatever the case may be, get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready. And I think that is it for us, Dane.
Man.
Episode 7.
In the books.
It was a long one, but had a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff cover. But yeah, man. What you got going on this weekend?
Man, just chilling. I think we got new member orientation at church tomorrow. Just chilling for the most part, man. Watching the Senior Bowl. Or is that next week?
Man, I can't remember. Next week?
It's going to be streaming. It's definitely going to be streaming. I can find you a link.
Do that, my guy.
Dates.
But as usual, we appreciate y'all listening, lending your ears to us talk stuff and sports.
Senior Bowl's tomorrow. Tomorrow, 1:30 Saturday.
Okay.
It's probably by the time this is released. So y'all watch it.
Right.
My bad. My bad. I didn't mean to cut y'all. My bad. You can edit this part out if you need to. I apologize.
I'm going to leave it in.
Appreciate you, my brother.
Appreciate you lending your ears, listening to us once again.
Yep. You could be anywhere doing anything at this time, but you're here with us.
Could be anywhere.
Listening to us. Run our mouths.
Listening. One of us. So we thank you. You can follow us. I am at Diep's Right Steps on Twitter. Dane, what are you?
I am at, on the Twitter, I am at D-A-N-E-T-X. That's Dane B. Oh, man, I said that wrong. The ceiling is the roof. I'm at Dane B. You can edit this part out. I'm at Dane B. T-X. And that's D-A-N-E-B-T-X on the Twitter. You got to edit this out, man, or else I'm not coming back.
Nah, you can't.
I ain't coming back.
You're killing me with that ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
Or who was that that did a sports chant but spelled it wrong? I forgot. Who was that? It was at the draft, too. Somebody did it at the draft and did it wrong. Okay, I can't remember. My bad. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to get us off task. My bad.
Good, man. Our podcast Twitter is at the Duo SNS, and we appreciate you guys once again listening, showing support, love, sharing our podcast with your friends, family, all that good stuff. We really appreciate it. Dang, we have overseas listeners now. Actually,
gone international. Shout out.
We've
to
gone
y'all.
International. No, like one play from Spain, so that's cool.
Hey.
And one from England, so
hey.
That's pretty cool. We're gonna have to start learning Spanish, Dane. So,
what do you mean? I know Spanish.
Shoot. Say something in Spanish.
Okay.
you a fool, bro. You a fool. But we appreciate you guys, and we'll holler at y'all on the next one.
All right, peace out, y'all. Yep, be easy.